Checking 1278. Hey, just like I remember from grade two. Several times that I took it. You're probably wondering why I'm wearing a vest. It's because I refuse to carry a purse, okay? You got pockets, you put your stuff. At my age, if you don't have places that you put stuff all the time, you don't know where it is. So before service, Marion said, her daughter says, I'm the hillbilly preacher. And to that, I just say, hee-haw. So I don't know if you guys were checking out Facebook early this morning, but Rebecca and Trevor posted a picture while it was Rebecca. She was running around with a fish over her head. Well, at least that's the way I seen it. It was a huge fish, so. 38 inches. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, we're not talking two loaves there. That's like 25 loaves. So there are people that aren't here today, and we want to remember them in prayer. And if they get a chance to catch us online, we just say God's protection on you, and we miss you. And as I was preparing for this, something completely off my sermon came to me. So I'm going to share that first, and then we'll go to the sermon. Because why would I cut it short? That wouldn't make sense. You know, I've heard a lot in this church about personal blessings, right? How you can be blessed. But I started thinking, and what came to me is this. There is body blessings. And I started thinking about, how many years has Ralph been here? 30 years. Do you know statistically how long a pastor stays at a church? 4 years, 4.5 years. Someone said, how would you like it if you got a new daddy every 4 years? How dysfunctional would that home be? And what came to me was this verse. And I think it's critical, especially now, to actually think about this verse and practice it. And you're going to go, how does this correlate? But I'm going to explain it. Exodus 17 in the Good News Translation says, when Moses' arms grew tired, Aaron and Hur brought a stone for him to sit on. While they stood beside him and held up his arms, holding them steady until the sun went down. In this way, Joshua totally defeated the Amalekites. You know what? Now's the time. Ralph has been here 30 years. It's time that we hold up his arms. So I want to open with prayer. God, we just pray for those people that are away from us. But especially, God, we pray for Pastor Ralph and Jamie. God, I just pray you quicken his spirit, quicken his body. May the oil of your joy pour down on him. May he sense you vitalizing every organ in his body. God, give him the power that Caleb had when he said, I feel as good as I did 40 years ago. God, you can do that. Amen. This is your church, God. This is no man's church. So we submit to you, and we lift up your servants, God, and we say, anoint them, refresh their spirits, give them clear vision, help them to walk through the valley of indecision that so often is in front of us. So God, we just pray that you're in this house today. We pray that each one of us will leave with some bread of life and have experienced and encountered you today. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. So my title of the sermon is God Does Not Need to Be Persuaded to Forgive. You know, given the way people are these days, we're always a little suspicious when someone says, I got something for you for free. And you're like, why? Well, because usually it's a scam. Oh, sorry. Usually it's a scam when someone's approaching you and saying, hey, I got something for you. It's so unbelievable, it's probably not true. But the forgiveness of God is a free gift, and it's very real and very true. This message is going to have 3 points. Plan for your life, purpose for the pain, and power to possess. When I was in homiletics, you had to have 3 points or it wasn't a sermon. So no matter what, there's always got to be 3 points, even if there's only one. Actually, can we get that first slide up? That's the other thing. There's going to be 2 slides in this entire message because what came to me was this. I want them, when they're staring blindly past you, to see what I'm saying. And that's that I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm always going to walk with you. You're like, what does forgiveness have to do with that? Everything is right. Everything, because without accepting God's forgiveness, we close the door to his freedom, his blessing, his hope, and live in a vortex of situational happiness that can be toppled with unplanned or unexpected events or situations. Do we get unplanned events or situations in our life that we didn't plan for or even want? Yeah. Can our joy be toppled if we're not in the right place? Yes. So I have to ask, do you know what it's like to be guided? And I don't mean passively guided, like you're driving down or walking down a road that you've walked before, and there's some dude, hillbilly, sitting at the side saying, hey, I wouldn't go that way. Because he knows what you don't know, that that road ends, they're doing construction, and you're going to have to turn around and walk back all the way back. I'm not talking about that kind of guidance. I'm talking about your mom in the mall. She's got your jacket so tight that 4 kidnappers couldn't get you out of her grip. I'm talking about that kind of guidance. I'm talking about the dad that's working away in his garage. He sees his kid in danger by the road. He drops everything and grabs that kid and pulls him out of danger. I'm talking about that kind of guidance. It's called aggressive guidance, I think. It can be scary, shocking, undignified, humiliating, but life-saving. Sometimes life-changing, redirecting, and always enlightening. Has God been doing some aggressive guiding in your life that you may have misinterpreted as abuse? Paying for your sins, or just plain old being picked on? Job said in 23:10, but he knows where I am going. And when he has tested me, I will come out as pure gold. God knew Job's innocence, yet he led him through some dark, dark times. Unexpected times on Job's part. And sometimes we think we're the only ones who have been betrayed, hurt, disappointed, mistreated, backstabbed, or embarrassed. But if you sit back and really think, you go, yeah, that's lunacy, number one. And the options are always this. Satan has a plan that he likes to interject right about when we're at our weakest point. And Satan's plans, the Bible says, they're good for a season. It feels good for a season. But his pleasures always end in pain. Every single time. God will pull you through the pain and lead to life every single time. Now, if you are a skeptical kind of person and have been burnt too many times to follow along blindly, great. God is here to pull you through. God's not some cheap con artist. This sermon is about real life, real issues under the care of a real big God. Isaiah 41, 10 and 13, kind of in a, I don't even know where I got this from, but I'll read this version and then I'll read the real version, King James. This one says, "Don't panic, I'm with you. There is no need to fear. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I, your God, have a firm grip on you, and I am not letting go." That changes those hellish situations, doesn't it? Now, to the King James, the real word of God. That sounds like a Harvey thing. "Fear not." Well, is that any different than don't panic? Not really. "For I am with you. Do not be dismayed." There is no need to fear. Is there really any difference? No. It just clarifies it a bit. "For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." I'm talking about aggressive guidance. Because he's picking on you? No, because he's not going to let you stay down. Because he's not going to let the enemy crush you. So I will grab you. I will drag you if I have to. But you're not getting pushed down. You're my child. I'll run into traffic and take the car for you. God's plan for your life is not a copy and paste type of plan. His purpose for your life is as unique as you are. His power to work it out is beyond your ability to comprehend what he is doing. You know what you got to do? Trust him. Plan for your life. Some people may think God's plan for their life is to be his sparring partner as he kicks the crap out of you. Others think he's a retired old man who has lost interest and doesn't care about them at all. But there are others out there that know God is all-powerful and that he will work all things out. Jeremiah 29:11, I'm sure we all know it. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And Psalms 139 says what? "He was there when you were knit together." You know what? Sometimes we need to just remind ourselves of what? Of the simple truth. You know what? You don't need a master's in theology to figure out, hey, that guy loves me. That guy's good to me. That guy's going in front of me. Those bullies don't stand a chance against him. As I'm getting older, that just isn't a good illustration, but I'm going to wear a different kind of suit next time, something with built-in body stuff. I believe Scripture points us to a bigger God than we can imagine. I believe the day you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you become a target of the enemy. He will attempt to smear, distort, confuse, and push you into thinking that God has no plan for you, no purpose for you, and no future for you. I can testify to that, and I guarantee you can too. I want to look at some issues, some tough issues, which you will have to wrestle with in your heart and come to a decision whether God is who he says he is or not. And we thank you, God, for your shed blood on Calvary, which paid the debt for all my shame, selfishness, sinful actions that were tearing me apart and mocking you at the same time. We don't want to put you to a test, but we want to experience the power of your Holy Spirit that sets people free from fears that plague, from condemnation that steals joy. You offer wholeness, purity, and freedom. Now, what's the purpose for pain? You know what? So many things could be said, even biblically. It purifies, it educates, directs. But most of all, what does pain really do? This is obvious. This isn't a trick question. What's the most obvious thing that pain does? It hurts. That's what it does every time. Hebrews 2:10. Jesus was made perfect through suffering. He looked beyond today. You know what? When it comes to pain, this is where a lot of Christians get derailed. I've heard it from great friends, great Christian friends. There is no way a loving God would do that to me. So I can't stick around. Because if he was a loving God, there's no way this would have happened. You know, when it comes to pain, you sit around a small group, and almost every Christian in that group is going to chirp out the right answer. They're going to say, well, James says, you know, it'll work out, and then, you know, eventually faith builds and blah, 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 blah. But that's when it ain't happening to you. When it happens to you, that's the day I want to meet you. I don't care what verses you memorized. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. If it's not in your heart and it's just in your head, it ain't going to work. Amen. If you live long enough on this planet, you will experience pain, letdown, disappointment, betrayal, abandonment, the unbelief of saying, I can't believe this is happening to me. And a host of other feelings and emotions associated with pain. I think we can agree all the disciples were Christians, except for maybe one. Can't we? I hope so. If you can't, you may want to reevaluate. But yet, Jesus said, Acts 1:4, hey guys, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling the people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as I have laid on my bed at night, I have oftentimes been challenged. Have I sought the Holy Spirit enough? And you guys might think because I love playing rowdy music that's kind of just how I live life. But that's actually very far from the truth. The honest truth is I feel very comfortable in a very conservative atmosphere where everything is articulated and grafted out because I can reason that out. But you know what? That's not how God works, always. You know what? And I could, and we probably all could do this, because if someone was saying this garbage and I was sitting out there, I'd go, well, but the Bible says everything should be done in order. Yeah, whose order? Yours or his? You know, we need to keep our hearts pliable, especially in tough times. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Your spirit is longing for the power of the Holy Spirit daily, despite the storm you are in. We're not here to learn a new chant or mantra to call God's power down. We're gathering to admit our need. God, please show up by your power. We need that. Without your Holy Spirit's power, we are powerless. We have a form of godliness. We have a program. But we don't have the Spirit of God, which brings life. I need life. I need this to work Monday. Sometimes when you're being aggressively guided by God, it is painful, but it is to protect you. You know, years ago when my mom and dad were both alive, we used to travel out there occasionally. And Shannon actually spent some of her holiday in North Battleford. And I thought it was interesting because that's usually about the time we had to fill up the van with gas. We're talking, it's about 1 a.m. usually, and it's hot. And there's mosquitoes there the size of freaking piranhas. And I'm out there, I think it's Petro-Canada, right up the hill. And these piranha-sized mosquitoes are trying to take out piranha amounts of blood out of me. And I'm jumping around, doing everything in my power to fill this stupid van up. And I'm getting stung to death. So I rush back into the van and, you know, got welts on me. And sometimes painful situations in life are like that. I knew I'd be in Manitoba the next morning having coffee or whatever with family. But that night, I was dealing with welts, mosquito bites. Sometimes life is like that. You wish you were having coffee and enjoying time with family, but you're experiencing the welts because you're on the journey still. You're on the road. And I don't want to be videotaped during those times because they're usually quite embarrassing. You know what? Camrose Congregation is one of those bodies of believers that will be there to pour out the love of Christ and tell you you're going to make it to the destination. That's what I've noticed. You're surrounded by a family here. You know what? That's not always true of churches. Some people here have been graciously allowing me the freedom to pry into their personal lives and expose some things to everyone here that are very painful. Why would we want to expose these painful things? Because we want you to know that you're not alone. All of us are just like you. We're on a journey. Maybe not the same pain, but many of the same feelings. Christians are not immune to life. So I'm going to pose some questions, then Jim and Betty have allowed me to do this, but I'm not expecting Jim and Betty to answer. I'm actually posing these questions about Jim and Betty, but I want you to answer in your own heart. How would you answer this? And I may distort some of the facts, but they're sitting right in the front row so they can correct me. Now, Jim and Betty are well known here. They started their love story in this church, I hear, and got married. They are active in the church, speaking, leading worship. I don't even know all the things you guys are involved in, but I know there's other miscellaneous things. I know they shared their testimony here, what, probably 2 months ago? The day came that neither of them had planned for or expected or wanted. That sunny day when Jim was on the motorcycle and got in the accident that left him in the wheelchair. Let's pretend you and Jim are having a coffee and you said, "How did this make you feel? Were you ever mad at God? Did you ever think, I have been a good man? I've served the Lord. Why me? What the heck? What's the point?" If there is a God, like, look at my life, man. Betty, did you ever feel guilty that you're walking and Jim is not? Did the church play a role in your spiritual survival? I'm taking this is just a very condensed thing to present a point. And I want to say Psalms 31:24 came to me. Be strong and let your heart be courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. Jim and Betty, God is not done. God sees your faithfulness in the pain. You too are a testimony of hope to every last person in this building. I remember when I was going through a tough time and someone said, "How are you doing?" And I'd watch this person go through 50 years of hell. And I watched how at the end of that 50 years, the Lord poured his blessing out on them. And I looked at them and I said, "If it wasn't for your life, I don't know if I can make it." A girl you guys have seen sing with me on several different occasions is my daughter, Abigail. Now, if I had her up here, she'd be shaking, but she's given me the liberty to betray her confidences. She got saved as a young girl. Actually, I don't even know how old you were. You were a teenager, right? Abby's always been involved in church activities, youth group, being involved with young girls, and just helping out wherever she could. She was in church, and she met her dream man. And it was love, I guess, at first sight. And she had probably the same aspirations that many of you married ladies had. You know, those flutters in your stomach and, you know, this is going to be great. I'm going to get flowers every day, candy. And she had every reason to think life would be great because I followed the recipe. I did everything a Christian should do. Thus, this has to be the outcome. Well, my daughter proceeded to live in an abusive relationship for 5 years, not knowing what to do, until finally she couldn't function. She was pulling out her eyelashes. She was pulling out her eyebrows to cope. Keeping these things hidden for fear of religious reprisal. And rejection by family and friends. Have you ever been there where you thought, "I have nobody to turn to? I can't trust anyone. they're going to betray me. They're going to reject me. Did you ever feel like God was not in control of your life? After all, you were a Christian. So, this is all going down, and out of nowhere, her mom is instantly killed in a motorcycle accident. You did the right things, and your world was falling apart. Did you feel betrayed by God? Did you feel hopeless? I think if we're honest, every one of us could say there's times we felt hopeless, completely drained, all four tires are flat. I want to say this loud. A wounded, hurt heart in the hands of a faithful God is an equipped servant. A wounded, hurt heart in the hands of a faithful God is an equipped servant. We have many who aspire to be valiant leaders, but few servants. When you have walked through the valley of pain, it changes you. You become a distant, recluse, bitter person, or you allow the breaking to shape you into a servant that hears the voice of the master because he or she has learned to trust with all they are. Isn't that what it's about? Learning to trust with all you are. Everything in front of me isn't working. Everything is falling apart. But God has a firm grip on my shoulder, and I'm learning to trust him. What did God say to Paul? 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is enough. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Abby, God would say to you, his grace is enough. His power is made perfect in your weakness. You will see his power in your life, I promise. Power to possess. I'm sure we could go around this room and everyone could give us a story. Well, it's not a story. Tell the truth about their life and we'd have a lot of tears going. God has not brought you this far to leave you. Are you fighting, biting, blood-sucking situations when you thought you should be in Steinbeck having a coffee by now? God did not cause those events to happen to punish you, harm you, or derail you. But he did allow them because he is affirming, you are my child, I will pull you through. Satan accused Job of being hedged in by God's protection. You know what? He's right. God is hedging you in. And the crap that's happening is only happening because God's got a firm grip on your shoulder. And he's saying, don't worry. I will be glorified in this. Because you're going to see how big I am. I know it is difficult and tough situations to rise above and keep focus. It has been my lot in life to sink pretty low. I remember one time even challenging God. I said, you know what? I wish you'd just show yourself like a man because I'd like to face you. Thankfully, I'm still here to talk about it. You know, like if we all get down to it, I told my wife, I should be dead. I don't know how many times over because God, if we were under the law, I think I'd be ashes like about 300 times a day. God in his mercy didn't strike me dead on the spot. He carried me. Hebrews 2:18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who was unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we, and yet he did not sin. No matter the situation, your pain, your heartache, he has his hand on you. Matthew 28:20, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. How much? You didn't have to do that. I just, well whatever. That was a little weird for both of us. Because Jesus, I am a victor, not a bingo. I remember in my darkest moments going, I'm exhausted. I'm beat up. I can't face this day. So I went to sleep. But you know what I said as I laid on my bed? I'm going to sleep, and tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and fight again. I told people, I said, I have never been a victim a day in my life. They could strip me down naked, drag me downtown Edmonton and beat the crap out of me, and I will still stand up and say, I've never been a victim a day in my life. You have the King of Kings on your side. You're not a victim. David Meese wrote a song saying, you can take my life, but I'm going to live forever. You have to be 57-ish to know who that is. That's going back a ways. Jesus Christ has you covered. This pain is going to pass, but God's kingdom will go on for eternity. And your name is at the top of his guest list. Remind the devil of that. He has more for you than this feeble guy can articulate. The pain was meant to destroy you. It was meant to take away your dignity. It was meant to debase you. It was meant to crush you, to remove all hope from your soul. Yet the enemy is always at a loss when it comes to a loving God. In your pain, remember, there is a God that has a firm grip on you and will not let you face anything you can't. He has taken the abuse and nailed it to the cross. He bore the humiliation, the betrayal, the pain, the loneliness, and stands guard in front of your heart's door if you allow him to. Will you allow him to bring you through? He is able. The devil is a liar. Psalms 18, 16 to 19. He took hold of me. He brought me out into a spacious place. If you're willing to believe a lie, why don't you try believing the truth? You know, there's a lot of Christians that are willing to believe a lie, but, you know, give the truth a try, too. Holy Spirit, come and breathe on this body of believers with the freshness of newness of life. We want to experience your life, not just talk about it. Psalms 27:13. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. That's here. You are whole. You are complete. You are white as wool in the eyes of God because Jesus Christ's blood cleansed me. I didn't work my way to God. I didn't join enough small groups. I didn't memorize enough scripture to get me there. He knew I'm not that smart, so he did it for me. He stepped in front of me as the semi came to take me out. And he said, this far and no further. Whatever you're in, he's standing in front saying, this far and no further, devil. What did he say to Job? When Satan wanted to test Job, he gave the parameters. Not Satan, God. This far and no further. That's my child. You are free from pain that is trying to be your identity. I've met enough people in life that suffered some really crappy things, and then they proceeded to take a new ID out and become the pain. And when they met people, they showed them their pain card. This is who I am. I'm not that person. I don't want you to be that person. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. I mean victorious. Victor is a guy that I don't even know, but. You are an overcomer because of the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansing you from all the stain and shame this world tried to drown you in. Romans 8:37. The funny thing is, we all know these verses. That's what kills me. We all know these verses. No, in all these things, we are more than through him who loved us. We all know the verses. It's just when the test comes, we all go brain dead. God doesn't love me. I guess God doesn't love me. This crap is happening. He doesn't love me. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 12:11, New Living Translation says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. You know what? There was a saying that went around when I was a kid. It's not biblical, but it is in a way. The idle hands are the devil's workplace. You know what? You have the opportunity to put your vision where you want it. You got the eyes in your head. Put your eyes on something you think is worth living for and then do it. Don't let circumstance derail you. Romans 12:22 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Actually, if you're still awake back there, can you put the next slide on? I'm just leaving it open. It's This is something that I love this verse. Revelation 12:11, New Living Translation, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. That kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the truth that you know, that you know, that you know, I got you. It ain't comfortable. It's not that dignified, Mom. But I know it's for my good. And I know you're going to get me through this stinking wall. You know what I'm saying? Your journey is not over. Your testimony is not done. Get up. Look up. Stand up. Be filled up. He has a plan for you to be a light of hope in a dark world, to be seasoning to an otherwise dull existence. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that are living a very dull, bland existence. And you might be sitting beside one. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. The church isn't immune to compromise. We're not robots. We have a free will choice every morning we get up. Do I want to be victorious or do I just want to survive? You know what? I'm 57 years old. I've been a Christian for a long time. And honestly, when I was 30 years old, I was serving the Lord, and I thought, you know, I didn't really think about it. I just thought, I'm doing pretty good, actually, is what I thought. I'm committed. I got, you know, raising a family. But you know what? I'm 57, and I feel the urgency. I'm like, there's nothing else that matters. This is it. As you see the sands getting less in your hour clock, you go, this is it, man. This is what matters. I don't want to face him and say, how do you like the holiday trailer, bro? I'm not saying those things matter. They don't matter. Where your heart is, there your treasure is. Can you have whatever? I could care less. God really doesn't care either. He blessed you to have it. But your heart is your choice. I want you to know he's guiding you towards a purpose with meaning. Get up. Never let the enemy push you down again. Be a pain in the enemy's camp by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just commit all these things into your care. We do what the Bible says. We don't go and kill that lamb and throw it up on the altar and atone for a few days for our mind and our evil actions and our sins. You know what we do? We're doing what the New Testament says. You get up. You crawl up on the altar. You present yourself as a living sacrifice. And watch what I'm going to do through you. You want to see miracles? Watch what I'm going to do through you. Submit yourself on the altar of Jesus Christ and ask his Holy Spirit to fill you. And he is going to flow through you like you've never thought possible. God, I pray a protection on every person in this room. I pray an infilling of your Spirit. I pray the oil of joy poured down from heaven. God, we've been sucker punched one too many times. We're not going to believe the lies. We're not going to compromise the truth. But we're going to follow in your footsteps with confidence, knowing that you have a hand on us. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that you are going with us this next week. In your name we pray. Amen.